Well, I tell you what, I'm glad and I'm honored to be your pastor, each of you. I mean that. I really do. I think about when Brother Tim and Miss Nadine came to us, and it was a difficult time. And I remember thinking, well, they're gone. I think they came on a Wednesday night business meeting. I remember just thinking, well, and little did I know, Brother Tim's been through a couple business meetings before in his life, and he's seen a couple things, but the way they just fit in like round pegs, amen, just got right in. So, you know, it's easy to serve when you got the same Holy Spirit. Amen. Same willingness to be a servant. And Miss Nadine, she actually lives downstairs in the kitchen. She doesn't live with Brother Tim anymore. She lives in our kitchen. We've got a little cot down there for her. And appreciate you folks so much. Amen, church. Really, these dear folks, a blessing. Well, let me just say in the introduction to our message tonight, I hate, you know, my son will say, now you're not supposed to say hate, Daddy. I said, well, God hates some things. Amen. And I try to hate what God hates, amen. And I don't know if God hates this or not, but I know I do. I hate being late. I hate being late. I have joked for years about my wife and I. We don't have fights. We have disagreements from time to time, but you have fights, we have disagreements, amen. No, we have fights occasionally. And invariably, over the years, it's been over 5 minutes early, 5 minutes late. Amen? To the point where I'm like, I'm setting all the clocks in the house, you know, ahead. And you know, but you can't do that anymore because you got cell phones and all that. Amen? But I've joked for years that my wife's hearse will have a flat just so she can be late to her own funeral. Amen? And I love to kid with her about it. She's mad as a hornet right now. She just beat red back there, amen. And it's going to be a long ride home tonight, all those 4 miles back to West Washington, amen. But I hate being late. And listen, I'm occasionally late. And all God's people said, I was looking last night, and I thought I was going to have a perfect illustration last night. I looked, it was 10 minutes to four, and my wife was already here. She was already here for the progressive. I couldn't believe it. Amen. And then I looked and I said, where's Pastor Donald? Lives right across the way. Amen. But he's got a pregnant wife, so we'll give him some leeway. I hate being late, but you know what I hate almost as much as being late? I hate when I'm waiting or depending on somebody else that's late. Amen. I remember many times in the work world where we would have to wait for some parts to be inspected, and literally I was the final inspector, so as soon as they came in the door, Brother Jim, I was going to get them, and then they were going to, and I remember, when's the truck going to be here? Well, he was supposed to be here an hour ago. Well, it's 9 o'clock at night. Can I go home now? Amen? No. Waiting for somebody that's late. Here in Psalms chapter 13, David, in the first two verses, you see the words, how long? How long, verse 1, wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having my sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? You see, David had come to the end of himself. Those of you who remember the story, and we'll just preface it quickly. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, King Saul had the final straw to disobeying the Lord. God told him exactly what he wanted done, and he did it his own way. He did it the Frank Sinatra way. He did it my way. And you know what? When my way and God's way don't agree, God's way is right. Amen. And so God said, that's it, Samuel, I'm done with Saul. I want you to anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And you remember what he did. He went to the firstborn. He said, boy, this must be him, strapping young boy. And God said, no, that's not him. And he went to the next one. He said, this has got to be the Lord's anointed. He said, no. And then God gave us that great verse in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Look not on his countenance, nor the height of his stature, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And he anointed David with oil. But David was not king yet. And you, of course, the next chapter in 1 Samuel chapter 17, you have the story of David and Goliath. My kids love when we have devotions and I tell the story of David and Goliath. Amen. And of course, we know what happened. Old David, full of courage and zeal and the Holy Ghost, amen, stands up against that 10-foot-tall giant with a sword and a spear. And here's old David with a sling and five smooth stones. And he curses at David. He said, listen, I'm going to kill you. And David said, listen, you come to me with sword and spear, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The buzzards are going to eat your carcass today. You remember the story. Smack, right in the forehead. Fell forward, amen. And I know I've said it before, probably get tired of hearing it, but I don't believe it was a stone killed him. I believe God said, drop dead. Amen. And blew him over, amen. That's the power of our God, amen. And you remember what happened? The ladies in Saul's court started singing their top 40 hits, amen, that Saul had slain his thousands, and David is 10,000s. And Saul, at that green-eyed monster of jealousy. And by the way, it says there that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And listen to this, folks. This is a hard one to take, but it's true, especially in the Old Testament. And an evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul. And he looked at David, those green eyes of jealousy, and twice he tried to pin him to the wall with a javelin. And by the way, praise God, you want a great testimony of how to behave yourself in adversity. You know what the Bible says about David? He behaved himself wisely. When he had opportunities to kill Saul, you remember that when him and Joab and Saul went into a cave, and there they didn't realize that David and Joab were in there, and Joab cut off the piece of his skirt and David showed it to him, and God smote his heart. He said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. He said this, God can deal with His man. May we always remember that. May we always remember that. Amen. That God can deal with His own man. And He does. Praise God. But David here, he's in this psalm, he's on the run, and he's on the run, and he's on the run from King Saul, and he's just simply worn out. And here, in these first three verses here, he's complaining to God, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but he's complaining to God of one of three things. He's either accusing God of not doing anything. What's he say? How long will thou forget me? He's accusing God of not doing anything, not caring, or being late. And don't look so super spiritual like you've never thought it before. We all have. We all have had moments in our life where perhaps tragedy has struck and we said, God, where were you? I prayed for them today. How could this have happened? How long? I want to preach to you tonight when God seems late. I'm so glad. I'm so glad for the Bible. I'm so glad for the... And by the way, I'm so glad for the belief that I have that this Bible is free from error. Right. Amen. I feel bad for people, Brother Boston, that don't know if they have it or not. this contradicts. I feel bad for people. I mean that. I'm not being simplistic, folks. I've studied it. I believe it's free from error. I believe that it is unified from cover to cover. I don't believe there's any contradictions in this book. Amen. I believe there's some that appear as a contradiction. Amen. But light is shed on it through the Word of God. I'm glad that I believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That God literally told the writers what to write. I'm glad I believe that. It's the only way you can have a book free from error. I'm glad that I believe in Romans chapter 15 verse 4 that says, what things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That we, through patience, might have hope through the comfort of the Scriptures. I'm glad I believe that tonight, because there are times when God seems late. When God seems late. What can we learn about when God seems late? Look at the text with me if you would. Number one tonight, when God seems late, realize that He is listening. Realize that He... Dear David is not just yelling in the air. He's not talking to nobody. Amen? He says, how long will Thou forget me? And what are the next two words, church? Oh Lord. That's the proper name of God right there. Whenever you see that word in the Bible, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's God's proper name. Jehovah, like my name is Richard. Amen. He's talking to a real person. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, when God seems late and you're pouring out your complaint, realize He's listening to you. I don't mean that in a negative way, like watch what you say. Know that God wants to listen to you. God wants you to pour your heart out to Him. Amen. Realize that He's listening. Look at again in verses 1 through 3. He says there, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, our God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Our God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. I want to tell you what else. Praise God for this. Our God is omnipresent. He's everywhere, and I'm going to tell you something, He listens. He listens. Listen, when He seems late, talk to Him. Talk to Him. Can I say this, and I mean this the best possible way, you can complain to God. You can complain to God. You can come to God and pour out your complaints. Is not that what David is doing here? He's pouring out his complaints. He's saying, God, You've forgotten me. What's going on here? Are You hiding Your face from me? Bring your requests unto God. Realize that He is listening. He's listening. Listen, I know there are times in life where He seems late. Realize that He's listening. You can tell Him, God, it sure seems like You're late. He won't mind. Realize that He's listening. Number two tonight. I love this one. Remember that He's working. When God seems late, realize that He's listening, but also remember that... Well, say, Pastor, how do you know He's working? Well, let me give you a couple verses. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 is a great verse. It says, He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That means He's working, Brother Howard. Amen. He is working, though He seems late. And the other verse that we love, praise God, I love this verse. I know you do too. I preach a message out of this verse called A Soft Pillow You Can Lay Your Head On. Amen. When we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. As I've said many times preaching out of that verse, it does not say that all things are good. I don't think this was a good time in David's life. I think he was pressed out above measure. I think he was running from somebody who wanted to do him irreparable harm, Brother Hendershot. But all things work together for good. I've told this story before. When I was, I want to say about 8 years old. I was an only child, and so that meant I've got everything I wanted. It's great. You poor people that had 9 brothers and sisters and all. Now, you had playmates and all that, but I didn't have anybody to play with, but I didn't have anybody to share with either. Amen. So, praise the Lord. That half gallon was mine, bless God. Amen. I remember going into the kitchen and wanting some chocolate. And again, it wasn't a problem. It was there. And Mom had some special ones right above the stove. They were small, though. They were little squares. It looked like a chunky candy bar. And I smelled it. And it wasn't in foil like the normal ones were. It was in a wax paper. But it smelled wonderful. And I remember looking around. Nope, I don't know why. I wasn't looking for a brother or sister to, you know. I just looked around and I remember biting into that and having one of the most disappointing experiences of my entire life. Amen. When I went, ugh. And I went, ugh. And I began to spit it all out. And I said, what is that? And I looked at it and said, unsweetened chocolate. Ugh. Baker's chocolate, amen? A good baker will tell you, if you're going to cook a chocolate cake or chocolate, you need baker's chocolate. You need flour. You need eggs. You need sugar. And you mix them all together. Listen, we all have bitter experiences in our lives. We all have experiences that, honestly, if we could go back, we wouldn't go through it. Amen? Listen, my pastor lost a son. Brother and Mrs. Becker lost a son. If they could go back, they'd get their son back. Amen? But God takes experiences in our lives. He takes the good experiences, the sugar. He takes the sugar sweet moments, he takes the bitter, he takes the flour, he takes the eggs, and he works together. Let me give you a few ways he works. First of all, God's working even when he seems late. He may be testing your courage. You say, when did he test courage? Oh, remember somebody named Daniel? I love the story in Daniel chapter 6. Of course, it's Daniel in the lion's den. You know that story, amen? But I love the fact, I believe it's verse 10, where it says that, these guys were going around. They knew they couldn't get Daniel. He was a man of character, amen. But they figured out a way to get him. They said, the only way you're going to get him is to get him in devotion to his God. And they, of course, tricked the king into signing a writing that said nobody was allowed to pray to any other god except for the king. And the Bible says this, and Daniel, when he knew the writing was signed, he prayed 3 times a day, as he did aforetime, with the window open so everybody could hear him. Come on. God was testing his courage. And I want to tell you something. When God seems late, he may be testing your courage. He may be going to see if you're going to be faithful. Amen? Listen, it's easy to be faithful when there's money in the bank and everything's going our way. It's easy. I want to tell you something, folks. You go through something. God sometimes is testing our courage. Remember that He's working. Realize He's listening. Remember that He's working. Testing our courage. He may be trying our faith. Same book of the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I like to call them by their real names. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. What happened? Again, you know the story. I don't have to tell you the long story. The long and the short of it was the king said, everybody best be bowing when you hear the music start. And there they stood there at full attention. Amen. When everybody else was on the ground, they looked around, probably looked at each other, said, well, I guess it's just us. Amen. And it came to the king's attention. I could just hear those whining people going, these three won't bow. Everybody else is bowing. Amen. And here they brought him in and they said, king, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. We're not anxious. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us and He will deliver us out of thy hand. But if not, we're going to be faithful. We're not going to bow. We're not going to bend even if we burn. You know what he was doing? He was trying their faith. And praise God. Amen. That worked out pretty good, huh? They went into the furnace. The fire burned up the soldiers in there. And they got into that furnace. And old Nebuchadnezzar looked there. And he called over one of his face. Come here. Didn't we cast three in there? Yes, king. I see four. And the fourth is like the Son of God. Bible says they came out. I think they were in there going, boo, boo, freezing in here. Who's got a blanket? Amen. Woo. They got out of there. The Bible says they didn't even smell of smoke. Better than a lot of Christians after Sunday morning service. Come on now. You know what he was doing? He was trying their faith. He was trying their faith. He was testing their courage, trying their faith. You know what else he could be doing when you remember that he's working, when he seems late? Help us now. I'm going to meddle here. I'm going to meddle with myself first. Could be teaching us patience. I want patience, and I want it right now! Come on. I've been waiting here 7 minutes. It's time for patience. Oh, you're in trouble. Because tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, hope. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So it could be when God seems late that He's teaching you patience. And by the way, that's one of the... There's a few subjects you could preach on as a preacher and you hit everybody between the eyes. One of them is unforgiveness. You can preach on unforgiveness and you will absolutely knock everybody between the eyes. Because we all have a forgiveness problem. But I'll tell you, one of the other ones is patience. Patience. I'm not a patient individual. One of the reasons... Mom, be quiet. That was a little too loud there on that. Amen? That's one of the reasons why I'm jealous. I'm jealous of Brother Sammons. Amen. Where's Mrs. Sammons tonight? Amen? I'm jealous of Brother Sammons. See, Brother Sammons puts Scripture bumper stickers on his car. He's spiritual. But you know what? Sometimes I don't drive so patiently. I don't want to give the Lord a bad name. Hey, you know what? Sometimes God's teaching us patience. He's teaching, He's trying, He's testing. Remember that He's working when He seems late. Realize that He's listening when He seems late. Oh, this is a good one. Reflect on what He's done before when He seems late. Go over to Psalm chapter 77. You're in Psalms. Jump over to Psalm chapter 77. I want to show you just a wonderful verse that hopefully encourage you tonight. Psalm chapter 77. Realize that He's listening. Remember that He's working. Reflect on what He has done before. Psalm 77. Look at verse 14. Psalm 77, 14. It's a highlighting verse. Amen. It's an underlining verse. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among thy people. Reflect on what He's done before. What do you mean by that? You're not the first one to ever accuse God of being late. You're not the first one on this side of the auditorium, or in this church, or in this town, or on this planet, amen, to accuse. Listen, think of the Bible story. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick. He waited 2 days. And then he went. And out comes Martha. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. What was she saying? You're late. I know you perfectly would have been able to heal him while he was alive, but you're late. He no sooner got done with Martha, she went into the house and said, the master is come and calleth for thee. And Mary came out at his feet like she always was, amen. And she said the same thing. Master, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So what's the key here? Reflect on what he's done before. Do you know Abraham had to wait 25 years for the birth of Isaac? I bet he seemed late. Matter of fact, I know Abraham thought he was late. Because when God said, I'm going to give you a son, and his sons are going to be like the sand of the sea, he said, all I got here is Eliezer, my servant. It's all I got with me. He said, God's late. You know, Isaac had to wait 20 years for the birth of Jacob and Esau to continue on to God's promise. You know, Joseph, if ever a man was mistreated, if ever a man thought, God, the trains are running a little off schedule here. 13 years from the time he was a slave to the time he was freed and second in command in Egypt. Now listen, just to those of you that you're north of 70, you say, well, 13 years, boy, that I'll tell you what, 13 years is a long time. Be falsely accused and in prison and something else. But you know, think about this, folks. This is hard for us to grasp. Moses' life is broken into 3 40-year periods. Do you know Moses was 80 when God called him? There's some folks in this room that 80. Imagine God called you to go deliver my people. 80 years old. And had spent 40 years on the backside of the desert, hiding from Pharaoh. But you know, Jesus' life is broken into his birth. Then we find him at 12 years old. Then we find him at 30. 18 years we don't know about the Lord. But we know this. We can reflect on what he's done before. He was working. He was listening. Amen. I think about Jesus and think about what he's done. And just three instances we make mention. But remember the story of Jairus' daughter? I love that story. It's just so. The story of Jairus' daughter, she was 12 years old and she died. So sad. Think about losing a child. I have to confess, that's just something that torments me. Those of you that have lost children, I just think, boy, I don't know. I don't know. You know, Lord, I want to be faithful and I want to serve you, amen. But you just never know, folks, amen. People that say, oh, bless God, I'll be faithful. Then it happens to you. Amen. I think about that. And here she is with Jairus with his little 12-year-old girl. And Jesus passed by. He said, Maid, I say unto thee, arise. She rose from the dead. Amen. Tell you, if that doesn't make you giggle, you need to check your Bible again. Amen. Then he came to an even worse situation, which was a widow whose only son had died. Big deal in Bible times, folks. The son had died. The breadwinner had died. And Jesus, the Bible says he stopped the bier, the coffin, amen, put his hand on the coffin, young man, rise up. He that was dead sat up. And then, of course, you know, went to the tomb of his friend, said, Lazarus, come forth. I like what D.L. Moody said. If he said, if he hadn't have called Lazarus by name, everybody in the cemetery would have had to get up out of there. Amen. Because there's power when Jesus says, come forth. Amen. Dr. Malone used to say he raised the dead, the deader, and the deadest. I like that. Amen. What are you trying to say, Pastor? Hey, listen, when you think God's late, reflect on what He's done. Reflect on what 13 years, 25 years, 20 years, amen. Reflect on what He's done. Remember that He's working. Realize that He's listening. And then lastly tonight, rejoice that He's always on time. Rejoice that He's always... I wonder what it must have been like to have been a Jew during the time when you had the prophecy of Micah that said that he would be born in Bethlehem. Amen. You had the prophecy of Isaiah. At least if you got a King James Bible, it says a virgin shall conceive. Amen. If you've got an RV, it'll say a young woman shall be conceived. And as I said there's no miracle in that. Right. Happens every day. Amen. But I wonder what it must have been like to be a Jew during that time and to be thinking, well, I wonder if he's going to come today. And 20 years would pass. I wonder if he's going to come today. And 80 years would pass. And two generations would pass. And from the time of Jesus' birth, from the time of Isaiah's prophecy, was 700 years. That's a long time. Except for God. Because 1,000 years is as a day with God. But you know what? The Bible says in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. I'll never forget when our pastor in New England announced that he was resigning. Pastor Tharp, I'm so looking forward. I had a wonderful time with him in California and looking forward to him being with us for our missions conference in April. But I remember it was just of course, obviously I knew I was on staff and I knew he was considering, but for a founding pastor to leave a church, it is really, really hard. If you've ever experienced that, it's just difficult. And I remember he announced that he was going to be leaving on such and such a day and taking his family. And I remember, of course, knowing that God had a call in my life to be a pastor. I had been a youth pastor. I had been an associate pastor. I always knew God wanted me to be a pastor. Always. I remember being in Bible college and guys would surrender to the mission field. And I always felt like a leper because I knew God wanted me to pastor. He didn't want me in Uganda. He didn't want me in China. He wanted me to pastor. And I remember coming to the church and offering my name as a candidate to be the pastor of Mountain View Baptist Church in Holyoke, Massachusetts. And I remember coming and going through the process, much like we did here last year with Pastor Donald and 3 years ago with myself, and going through that whole process with my home church. And obviously the relationship was great. We had a wonderful church family. They loved us. We had served there, been saved out of there, married there, called there. And I remember that night, obviously, I preached. I preached on Sunday morning. I preached, did question and answer on Sunday afternoon, preached on Sunday night. And then my wife and I dismissed ourselves, and the church voted. And Pastor Tharp came to me, pulled me aside. He said, "Do you want to know? Do you want to know if it's a yes or no vote?" And I said, "Well, obviously, I'd like to know if it's a yes or no vote." Amen. And he said, "Well, it was no. Do you want to know the percentage?" I said, "No." We had a specific percentage. Amen. 3/4% or 3/4, and I said, "No." Went home that night, July of 2005, discouraged. Why didn't my church want me? Serve there. Servant. Tried to be anyway. And then I went home and I had my devotions. And I read Psalm 37, 7. Why don't you go there with me? Psalm 37, 7. Psalm chapter 37 in verse 7. By the way, I was not despondent, just discouraged. My goodness. Psalm 37, 7. God gave me this verse when I needed it most. It says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." God's always on time. God's always on time. You see, you can rejoice in the fact that God is absolutely always on time. He may seem late, but thank God, ladies and gentlemen, we have His Word that tells us He's always on time. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Psalms chapter 27 and verse number 14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." God's delays are not denials. You will find Him true, working through the hardest trials, what is best for you. Pastor, seems like God's late. What do? Realize that He's listening. You can talk to Him. He's not upset that you think He's late. Realize that He's listening. Remember that He's working. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Reflect on what He's done before. He's the God that doeth wonders. And rejoice that He's always on time. Father, we love You.